Hi, everybody. Happy Thursday. We're going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, as we continue on in this Lent devotional series. And so let me read this for us. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who has been made perfect forever. Amen. Like many of you, over the years, I've become pretty invested in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's simultaneously a lot of fun, I think, and kind of sad. Fun because it's entertaining, but sad because I feel like Marvel just keeps taking my money. Anyway, many of the Marvel movies, and frankly, any compelling action movie, revolve around this idea of sacrificing for the greater good of humanity. The heroes find themselves in a situation where they need to make some type of sacrifice to save everyone else. And in fact, some of the recent Marvel movies consist of characters actually giving their lives for this cause. But after they die, the world goes on. Troubles continue to arise, and new heroes must step up and make their own sacrifices to save humanity. And of course, so that Marvel can continue to take my money. Anyway, I mention all of this because in today's passage, we read about Jesus, the great high priest, being compared to the priests of old. Now, firstly, very quickly, as sort of a backdrop for this passage, these verses are part of a section of Hebrews 7 where Jesus is compared to Melchizedek, a man we can read about in Genesis 14, but whom we know actually very little about apart from just a few verses. But basically, what we do know is that Melchizedek was a priest king, which is pretty much what it sounds like. He's described as king of Salem and also priest of God Most High, so priest king. Anyway, the writer of Hebrews compares Jesus to Melchizedek because Jesus also is a king, is the true king, and also acts as a priest in that he made the atoning sacrifice for sin, just as the priests would throughout Israel's history. So this is helpful to know because, again, in our passage today, Jesus is compared to the priests of Israel's history, aka the former priests, as we see in verse 23. And throughout our passage, we can see some pretty big differences, though, between the two, between Jesus and the old priests. For one, the priests of Israel were, quote, many in number because, well, like all humans, they eventually die, and someone else needs to take on the role of the high priest. Additionally, as holy and devout as they may have been, they were still sinners. This is what verse 28 means when it says, "For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests." The weakness is referring to their sin and how they fall short of the glory of God. This is also why all of the high priests throughout history first had to offer a sacrifice for his own sins before offering sacrifices for the people of Israel. The priest first had to be cleansed of his own sin before he could be a part of the process of making sacrifices for others. That's what we read in verse 27. To go back to what I was saying about the Marvel movies, these priests are sort of like the Avengers, the Marvel heroes who have to keep coming onto the scene and save the day. No matter how much evil is vanquished, at the end of the movie, evil might seem like it's gone, but another movie comes out, another TV show comes out, and enemies continue to pop up. So even more heroes have to step up and fill the shoes of those who maybe retired or gave up their lives in previous battles. But imagine that a new Marvel movie came out, where at the end of the movie, the hero saves the day and that's it. No more bad guys, no more destruction, no more need to fight, no post-credit scene to tease another movie. That's it. I know it's kind of hard to imagine because, once again, money, but just imagine that hero would be considered much greater than the other heroes, right? It would be the hero of all heroes who has ended all evil. Well, in a sense, that's what Jesus is in comparison to the other priests of old. Though the former priests were many in number, Jesus holds his priesthood permanently because he continues or lives forever. Related to that, he is able to save to the uttermost, or in other translations, save forever, because he lives forever and is able to make intercession for all eternity. Though the former priests were sinners themselves who had to atone for their own sin, Jesus, of course, is not like that. As we talked about yesterday when we read Philippians 2, Jesus is God. And therefore, as we read in verse 26 of our passage today, he is holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He's completely set apart for God. He is without sin. He is blameless. He is perfect in every way and high above all creation and even the heavens. He is the great high priest who made a way for us to the Father. And he did this not just by making a sacrifice. He was the sacrifice. All the priests throughout history made animal sacrifices, killing an unblemished animal as a symbol, and through that atoning for the sins of the people. The sacrifice had to be made repeatedly. But Jesus became the sacrifice, the unholy, unstained sacrifice, and through his death atoned for the sin of humankind once and for all. As it says in verse 25, all who draw near to God are saved through Jesus Christ, our atoning sacrifice. Jesus is the way. The world will often tell us that there are other ways, other priests, if you will, to salvation or to enlightenment. Other things that are they'll claim are processes to be saved, to appease our anxiety or our fears or solve our issues and problems. And we'll often convince ourselves that there are other ways. We may not outright consider them to be gods or ways to salvation, but we'll turn to things that will save us, even if just momentarily. But Jesus is the way to the Father. He is the only way to salvation, the only one who will truly save. All other things won't last. They might bring us temporary relief or pleasure or satisfaction or a sense of hope, but none of them will last because Jesus is the only way. Many of you listening today already know this. You've come to be saved and recognize that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and praise God for that. But some of you, maybe this is still a new thing. And so this morning, whether this is new or old for any of us, I want to encourage us to meditate on this reality, that Jesus is the way. He is the only way to the Father, the only way to be saved. And as we reflect on this, meditate on this, let's repent of the things that we may be trying to find our hope and salvation in. The things that we turn to when we are fearful or anxious. The things that we place our trust in to save us in moments of difficulty or trouble. Let's turn from these things. Let's repent. And instead, once again, more fully, place our trust and hope in the one who came and saved us through his death once and for all. There is no need for Jesus to come and do this again, or for anybody to do this again for us, because Jesus once and for all saved us, made the sacrifice so that we could be saved. And so with this, let me pray for us to close out our time today. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming and saving us. Thank you, Lord, that you not only are the high priest who makes a sacrifice, but you became the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so, Lord, while in times past, the people were made clean, their sins were atoned for by the repeated sacrifices of the priest, because of your sacrifice, Lord, all we have to do is look to you. As it says in our passage, all we need to do is call. Draw near to God, and that happens through you. And so, Lord, I pray for any of us who may be listening who don't yet know you or don't have this relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for bringing them here, and I just ask that you would
stir their hearts in a way where they would put their trust in you. And for those of us who have already put our faith in you, Lord, we confess that there are days, there are moments, Lord, where we turn from you, where we put our hope in many other things. And God, so I just ask that you would help us to return to you today. May we place you, Lord, as the King of our hearts, the one whom we trust, the one whom we know, by whom we have life. And Lord, I pray that today and throughout this Lent season, may we continue to look to you, Lord. We thank you, God. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.